Okay, the hubbub is beginning to subside. As I was saying, Vicky told me about an experiment she tried at work on, I think it was Thursday, where she thought she would try smiling more. Because she thought, although there are certain challenges, especially with her IT system at work that is causing her some significant frustration, she just felt that she should go and just try and be more positive, show a more sort of positive sort of face to the world. And as I was sitting here thinking of welcoming our esteemed and much loved guest speaker this morning, it struck me that this is a gentleman who makes me smile. And we are really delighted to welcome Jules from Chalk Farm to share with us today, wearing his wonderful smile, as so often, and causing me indeed to smile as well. Jules, you'd like to come up. Let's let's pray. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in your presence here today, Lord. And we thank you for the power in your word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for your servant here with us today to share this time with us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Jules, for Chalk Farm, for the way in some ways we've journeyed together, Lord, over many years. We pray for blessing on Jules today, Lord Jesus, that his words would give life to him as we pray they'll give life to us. Amen.
Good morning. Keep smiling. Amen. Thank you. Bless you, brother. Good. Yeah. Thank you. It's great. Since I came, you know, I came here, I heard the band rehearsing, and then I was hushed away quickly to the prayer room, and it's all love around, and it's really a confirmation of what I'm going to share about today. Love. Look at your neighbor, say, I love you. Yes, why not? If it's your loved one, why don't you give a little kiss? I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. I love you too, brother. I love you. I love you. You guess probably today I will invite us to revisit, let me say, the most challenging, but yet the most demanded of us, corrective statement or declaration, we may say, of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And my invitation to us will be to adopt it personally. Before we read the 13th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, I want to draw us slightly back to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians begins with the words now. It might be a different version on the screen. We have this now, this word. Is it right? Correct. Wonderful. Let's say now. It's now. Now concerning spiritual gifts. These are listed. These gifts are diverse. We see in verse 4. Some Christians in the church have the gift of wise speech. This means the ability to put deepest knowledge into words. To others is given the gift of knowledge, verse 8. To still others is given the gift of faith, verse 9. These gifts are followed by the gifts of healing, as we know, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Some of these sensational gifts, we love to possess them. And it's true, some of these gifts were sensational. And they were earnestly sought above all others by some Corinthians Christians. They became the source of, sadly, arrogant pride. Those without these spectacular gifts were looked upon as inferior Christians and were the objects of contempt and condescension. They were regarded as less spiritual. And this, when you put all of these ingredients together, you can
almost begin to understand, caused jealousy, strife, and division in the church. And Paul sought to compare the church with the human body. I have had the privilege, the blessing to study the human anatomy in great length, in great depth. I have a little bit of understanding of what Paul is talking about here. As many of you will know, my other background is medical. No human organ is unnecessary or unimportant, whether we know or we don't know. Since the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts in the body of Christ as he will, verse 11, no one had occasion to proud or to feel especially favored by God with his gift or gifts. The closing verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 begins, but desire. I know there is some kind of old version that says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Verse 31. Many members had desired or coveted the more showy, bizarre, abnormal gifts. The apostle exhorts them to desire or to covet the best gifts, true, the most influential gifts, the gifts more effective for Christians' kingdom. Following this exhortation, poem of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is introduced with these words, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. A better translation or another translation reads, and now I show you the best way of all. And that best way is the way of love. Love, love, love. Imagine if we had this love, how different our troubled world will be. Love. If we had the love of God, how much different our own family will be. Friends, colleagues, brothers and sisters, there will no longer be such thing as, you know, my in-laws. It's an expression I heard sometime. It will simply be my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my son, my daughter, my auntie, my uncle. Love. The word love needs to be, I believe, rescued and redeemed today. Modern writers, singers, actors, and others alike have debased and degraded the word love until it has become an expression of a simple physical or sexual thing. Three Greek words were used in New Testament in those days to express the emotions of love. Eros, philios, and agape, that you probably know very well. The latter is the word Paul chose for the hymn of love here. It is not found in classical Greek. He coined it, just like Shakespeare coined few words. And we love them, we accept them. And some young people, I meet young people sometimes, they say, why don't you accept our words today? You know, you did accept Shakespeare's words. Accept ours too. And they might have a point. They might do. So Paul coined this word, agape. It pictures love as pure, holy, and exalted experience. It is an emotion of the mind and soul, as well as the heart. It was love with reverence in it. And love, so interpreted, becomes the greatest thing in the world. Agape love is beautiful and holy. It suffers long and is kind. It does not identify us with the lower animal, but it unites us with God. Agape love is best illustrated in the love of God manifested in the human race. God is love. God is love. Not the opposite, not the way around. God is love. Jesus said to a lawyer, answering a question, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew chapter 22 from verse 37. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang or rest all the law and the prophets. All of it on these two. Well, we mentioned the Olympics in 2012, and I was doing street evangelism. I was operating in the area of King's Cross Underground. And I had a question with these premises: love your neighbor as yourself. And then I will ask people if they believe in that. They said yes. And many people quoted John Lennon to me: all we need is love. Da, 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 da. All we need is love. You know that song, do you? Yes. And then I will quote this scripture. I said, Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So do you agree? Because you agreed that John Lennon was right. And it was quite interesting. Very, very interesting to hear people's understanding of what love is or can be in their minds. The word love needs to be revisited. Especially us as Christians, we need again to go back and revise this word and pull better understanding from it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I heard this say that I penned down because I loved it. The author said this: it is the Father's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's to convict, the Christ Jesus to save, mine to love. Amen. That love prompts us to say, beloved, let us love one another. You may take the joy of touching your neighbor and say, let us love one another. Love. Love your neighbor. It was that love that prompted God to work out a plan of redemption for man's sin. It was God's love for the world that motivated God to send his only begotten Son, who is the only way for us. It is God's love that seeks us out, that calls us to himself, that grants us forgiveness for our sins, and that keeps us in his grace. Love. Paul again writes to the Colossians in chapter 3 verse 14 saying, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, when one decides to preach on love, where does he start? Just to read the marvelous scriptures on love would fill the hour. Think of the many songs that are written on just this little four-letter word, L-O-V-E, love. As I heard one critic say, if we remove that word, or if we instruct singers not to use the word love, many songs will not be on our repertoire. The minds of hundreds of Christian writers have been set aflame in dealing with the immensity of the subject. Their works are so compelling that once committed, the volume is hard to put down. Love in the New Testament, written by Dr. James Moffat, some of you may have come across him, fills 332 pages of teaching and inspiration. Just a little word, love. And many more writers have written on the same word, probing the depths and eminence of love. I am here restricting myself to the consideration of love as a fruit of salvation or as a trait of Christian character. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I would love us to read together if we may. Ready, read. If I speak the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal.
if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is, it does not, it is not, it keeps. Love does not, it is always. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, the greatest is love. Love is the thing that will not pass away. We can fight for the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of preaching. Love is the one that will not pass away. And this is the thing that we should be seeking the most. Love. Love. Much of my interest will be in the life that emerges when under the mastery of love. To the student of Greek, I must say that agape, not philios, eros, or storge, is my chief interest. It is the attitude that a man comes to have toward others after establishing a living relationship with Christ. Love is a fruit of salvation when it is growing and ever mellowing to accommodate others' needs. Life is full and complete when living the Christ's way. The Christ's ways become natural, the warp and woof of daily decision making. Christian life is to walk in love. Each Christian is a spring. Each Christian life is a spring. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, inner life, shall flow rivers of living water." John chapter 7. And in John chapter 4, he says, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Colossians 3:14, that I mentioned earlier on, says, "Love, put love like a coat." Love is to be put on like a coat. "Above all these things, put on, clothed in love." Love conditions for the day-to-day disposition in the same way that Paul called for the whole armor to meet temptation. Love. Love of Christ identifies our walk. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. And 1 John chapter 2 verse 10 says, "He that loves his brothers abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Love. Love. Christian purpose is to serve in love. Serve one another in love. All our equipment is made effective only in love. Paul says it, "If I have this, if I have that, even if I give my body to be burned, if I give away all my possessions and have no love," they mean nothing. They mean nothing. Love. May the Lord today remind us of that four-letter word in everything we do. When I'm serving, when I'm giving, when I'm correcting,
when I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, when I'm sweeping, when I'm hoovering, when I'm sent to do the dishes. Sometimes it's just as simple as putting the dishes in the dishwasher. But yet let's do it with love. Amen. Simple things as taking the rubbish out. I'm a husband and I am also a father. I know. Let's do it with love. All our equipment is made effective in love. Tongues of men and of angels become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries. Understanding, this is deep. Understanding all mysteries. What part of the mystery don't we understand? All mysteries. Whether I will be able to pray for the dead to raise up, if I have no love, it's nothing. All our equipment is made effective only love. I can empty my bank account, giving away to others, if I have no, because people do. Love. Do it all in love. All knowledge will pass away. You know, this baffles me. Everything I have studied and I know will pass away. All will pass away. Knowledge, faith will pass away. Hope. Who doesn't like to have hope? But we know even that will pass away. But love shall remain. Amen. Love. I can bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Give my body to be burned. It profits me nothing. Oh, I pray really human beings will understand that I can give my body to be burned for others. But if it's without love, it means nothing. Love is also not only directed to the lovable. Love is directed only to the unlovable. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 44, Jesus says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Your enemies, we are called to love them. Well, I can love them. That's all right. I don't see them. I don't want to see them. But Lord, I love them in my bedroom. That's all right. But then the Lord continues and says, bless them that curse you. Not just now I have to love them. Now I need to spend my time, my sacred time, to bless them. That is challenging. That is tough. My enemy, do good to those who hate you. That is tough. Are we being real here? Well, I'll tell you a story, a personal story. I think this is the second time I share it. I was working in hospital and we finished operating on this patient and he was going down to intensive care. It was quite a major surgery. And when you finish an operation with such a patient, you want quickly to get that patient on the ward so that everything can be reconnected and he will be monitored. But then we got in front of the lift. Unfortunately, it was meal time. And those of us who have worked in a hospital, you may understand, the meal trolley people, they control the lift. They say, if we don't feed those patients, there's nothing you doctors can do. And the lift came up. I couldn't get in because someone was controlling it and just took it somewhere else. And then I said, he was gone. But I remembered his face. So I came home that evening. I shared it with my wife because it was painful. Eventually, we got the patient on the ward and nothing happened. Everything was perfectly fine. And, my wife simply said, well, you know what you need to do. Okay, all right. So I went down on my knees and I prayed for forgiveness. I said, Father, forgive me and, I forgive the brother. So I thought. 2 months later, I finished my shift. I got into the lift. And down the way, the lift stopped, doors open, flung open, and who came in? The same guy. He finished his shift then. I was almost about to press, the closed door button? He got in. He stood in front of me, not looking. What a brilliant opportunity for me to slap him. But somehow, my hand tapped his shoulder. And then I asked, do you remember me? He said, oh, yes, I do. I said, how? He said, well, I see you here. He forgot that incident. He never remembered. That's when I realized, even though I went down on my knee when my wife told me, and then I prayed for forgiveness, but it was a root of bitterness in my heart. And thank God, he gave me the opportunity to confront myself that day, to see myself and realize if really my forgiveness was genuine. And that day, that's the day I told him that I was angry. You did this to me. But you know what? I really want to forgive you, and I want you to forgive me. Can I give you a hug? And he's a huggy person too. So it was quite weird, two gentlemen hugging. Matthew 5, shall we come back? I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. Who is in heaven? Let all your things, your living, be done in charity, in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. My last point before the conclusion is this. Christian strength is unity in love. Love was the distinguishing mark of the Christian. Let's go back to the beginnings. Love was the distinguishing mark of the Christian. John chapter 13, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This is the only clue Jesus gave in the old Bible. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Love. It was not subscribing to a doctrinal position or attending church or even being baptized to prove them Christian. All these things are good. It was and is a zeal for the welfare of man, a trust in man, and a love for man. Love. The cry of business you cannot trust is to remain silent in the face of evil. Someone will say, to remain silent in the face of evil is complicity. Listen, we sang a song here that really penetrated my heart. I will listen for your voice. I will listen for your voice. In my situation, Lord, give me the grace to listen for your voice. This tells me it is not always easily audible. You have to look to listen for it. Usually it's not a loud voice. It's a small, still voice. Listen for his voice. In your happiness, in your joy, listen for his voice. In your anger, in your resentment, your disappointment, listen for his voice. And you will be amazed what God can do when we give him way. Listen. He that loves his brother abides in the light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. It is he, not the cynic, who really sees into man's character. In the long run, the man who loves and trusts is right. Because love and trust create what they believe. No man can go on betraying a trust which is constantly renewed. Eventually, the light will come in. Christians are knit together in love. This is what knits us together. Love. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Love is the solution to race problems. If your love is expanding, you are on a good path. If your love is not expanding, you are not growing as a Christian. Now the question is my love growing? Is my love growing? Do I love my brother today more than I loved him yesterday? Am I loving? Am I loving? When the preaching is not as good as you may have expected, do you let your love continue to grow for the preacher? But let me turn it the other way. If the church congregation is not attending the church as many times as ministers would expect, am I still letting my love grow for the flock? Do I love you? Do I love you not just as a congregation, but as brothers and sisters individually? Because I tell you one thing, we preachers, we love the crowd. We love standing in front of the crowd and preach to the crowd.
But we are called to love people individually. Looking at you individually and loving you. I love Brother Robert. I love Sister Sarah. I love Sister Kali. I love Brother Phil. Loving people. And one exercise, a very practical one to do is, if you don't know the name of the person, maybe today is an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to extend my love. I want to let it grow. I will go and then shame aside. I've been here for 30 years, but I don't know the name of that sister. I don't know the name of that brother. Today I will ask. It takes humility. You know, prayers were given to the children here for attendance. And sometimes I do that for who knows the old church. Tell us the name of everybody in the church, except the very first newcomers. But really, if we are good, even the newcomer, you will know the name. You will greet them and welcome them. I was welcomed by Sister Regina. Are you still here? Wonderful. I was welcomed by her husband, Verdon. It is great to know people individually. Amen. Let your love expand so that you may grow as a Christian representing Jesus Christ. What is the span of Christian love? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12 tells us, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. All men. That is hard. All men. Love, I say this boldly, is fruit of the Spirit. Let's tell one another, love is the fruit of the Spirit. I did not hear you. That's what Galatians tells us. As the disciples found the teaching of Jesus difficult, and we may find this difficult, I do find it difficult. The teaching of Jesus on love is difficult. Just think of the people you don't particularly like. The colleague, this manager who doesn't treat you well. This school teacher who did not speak well to you. This bus driver who drove off as you ran for the bus. I get it. I've got witnesses here. The disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it? John chapter 6, verse 60. Who can hear it? This is hard. We are not the first to think that way. The disciples of Jesus said, this is hard saying. Who can hear it? Love. We find teaching on Christian love hard. And hence, we don't preach much about it. It's too hard because it's a challenge and for the preacher and for the hearers. But yet, this is the most demanded thing of us, love. As I said, love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in my little philosophical mind, I can say love is not human achievement. Love is not human achievement. I will give you an example. I married people madly in love before the wedding service. I mean, madly in love. They can't keep their hands off each other. And it's beautiful when you see that. Absolutely beautiful. Because I remember my own days. I went out with flip-flop in a cold, freezing Beijing winter, simply because I was walking Bridget to the bus stop. No coat on. And the Lord tested my love that day. Whether it was my love or my endurance, well, I leave it to you to discern. We got to the bus stop. Usually, the bus is regular. But that day, 10 minutes, no bus. 20 minutes, no bus. And you think in the cold, freezing winter of Beijing, China. My goodness, my toes began to freeze, but I'm playing tough. Love. Don't we say love is tough? Yes. Love is tough. I was interceding more than I could have a romantic chat with my wife for the bus to come. And thank God, eventually God sent one in about 45 minutes, and off she went. I was running. This is what love does to people. But let's flip it. Why I'm saying love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not a human achievement, because the same couple that sat there madly in love, time later, are ready
to pull out knives to stab each other. You think of that. Don't you think those who have divorced did not love each other the way we see love? It's only when the Holy Spirit in your heart produces that fruit, then love is truly love. It is not human achievement. If it was, we would live in a better world. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5 from verse 22, it's because he was right. He understood it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love. If so far my love has been what I have tried to do by myself, I need to call on God to give me His Holy Spirit and to love as He wants me to. Because love is only possible in Christ. When Christ is born in a life, Christian love begins to flow. This week I was speaking to somebody who has been in a war zone. How people who have loved each other, neighbors who have lived together, can begin to shoot one another and mutilate one another and kill one another. We need the love of God through His Spirit. And these are His gifts to conclude. Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip God's people for work in His service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So shall we all at last attain to the unity inherent in our faith and our knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. We are no longer to be children, tossed by the waves and whirled about by every fresh gust of teaching, dupes of crafty rogues and their deceitful schemes. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. No, let us speak the truth in love. So shall we fully grow up into Christ. He is the head, and on Him the whole body depends, bonded and knit together by every constituent joint, the whole frame grows through the due activity of each part and builds itself up in love. What a beautiful picture of the church. Are we willing to let go of what hinders love, even among ourselves? We come to church, we hear such a word from God. I am also challenged because I go back to my own family. In church, everything might be fine. But let me tell you one thing. Let's go back to our own little world before we close in prayer. Your brother that you don't speak well of, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, that cousin who wasted every opportunity given him and is not loved by you. Let's be real. Let me go as far. Your ex-lover, if you are divorced, the one you divorced from. If he belongs among your enemies, then there's one thing you need to do, is to love him or love her. Jesus says, love your enemies. Those who despitefully use you, love them. This is hard saying. I am deeply touched by those who have lost their loved ones by crime, gun or stabbing, and they come on TV and say, I forgive the murderer. Can we today forgive and just love and love all men? Can we do that? So that everything we do in Christ now will be effective? Can we? That teacher you didn't love, that uncle who did not give you what you thought was yours, that friend who was a bit selfish, that sister in church who did not particularly give you your due respect, husband and wives, as we are going to pray, I will ask us not to stand up and just take it personally. And in about 2 minutes, we will make again this declaration of love of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 together. Then I will invite us to stand. But let's take a couple of minutes just to reflect and forgive and love.
As Jules has said, I think it might be good to again revisit love in 1 Corinthians 13 and to maybe stand up and to read it out as a congregation. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Okay, take a seat, everyone. I just wanted to share something personally. Yesterday in our road, we had a street party, and the idea was to get all the residents of the street to participate, get to know them a bit better. There's been a lot of changes in our road recently, over the last 5 years, I should say. New families moving in, single people, etc. And there's one chap who I struggle to get on with. And one of the reasons I struggled to get on with was that he was threatening to mercy on one occasion. And it was on a Sunday morning, just before church as well, that I found out about it. And I had to really hold back from going up to him and being really angry. And yesterday, there was a point when quite a few people at this party, street party, they began speaking about this guy and their encounters with him. And there was a moment when everybody was just talking about this guy, and there was a still voice in me saying, no, you need to love this guy. You need to say hi to him. You need to say hello to him. And even if he rejects what you are offering, you still need to reach out and love him, as hard as that may be. And so it's quite interesting that Jules' talk today it's touched a nerve. And I heard that voice yesterday, and I put it at the back of my thinking. And but Jules, thank you so much for that talk today. And I think for all of us, there might be things that people we struggle with. We struggle to love them. We struggle to forgive them. So I think the challenge for us is to begin to revisit how we feel about a particular person that we find hard to love, and really bring it before the Lord and ask him, Lord, really help me to release this person that I'm bound up with anger about or resentment about. I think this coming week, if we can focus on that and ask the Lord to really, really help us. And there's some nice cool drinks at the back there. So if you'd like to maybe have some juice and water, and then just reflect on Jules's talk. So Jules, thank you so much for your talk. It's always a pleasure having you here. And so we can enjoy the rest of our Sunday. Thank you very much. Nick, anything to add? Thanks all for coming. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome again to New Life. Another wonderful day of sunshine.
Yes.
No showers today.
No.
Hopefully.
Lovely day.
And as we gather in this place to worship, I just wanted to share a short verse of scripture with you. It's 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, and it goes like this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And so whatever we bring with us today that might be causing darkness in our minds, maybe it's financial struggles, maybe it's relationship struggles, because we look to him and there is no darkness in him, that he's light, we need to just humble ourselves before him today. And Lord, we just come humbly before you today, Lord, to seek your face, to worship you by your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to put everything that burdens us and troubles us to one side.
Amen.
For the sake of seeing more of you, hearing more of you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Now, before we start our time of worship, I want you to read also a few verses from Psalm 27. It's verse 4 to verse 6. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. So, could we all stand up if we're able to, please? We are going to sacrifice with shouts of joy.
Amen.
As we worship.
Amen.
Mercy.
Amen.
Thank you.
I have a very, very important announcement to make. Hello! I have a very important announcement to make. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much. I have a very important announcement to make, because I have it on good authority that there are three people here today who have birthdays. Anyone have a birthday today? George? Where's George? George, come on down. Give him a big hand. George, when is your birthday?
Tomorrow.
And how old will you be? Whoa, 12. Okay, you stand right there, because you're going to have some company. Sinan, where are you? Come on down. Give him a big hand. Sinan, when's your birthday? 9. Okay, you stand there, because you're going to have a third person. Joel Haruna, where are you? Come on, Joel. Joel, and when is your birthday? Whoa! And I believe it's a very significant birthday. Can you tell us about that?
I'm a teenager now.
Yes, you are 13. Right, so we have some cakes coming down. So I think
Are we going to do them all three together? Yes. Okay. So, we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Another birthday. Oh, Callie, sorry. I won't ask how old you are, but your birthday's when, today? Tomorrow. Okay. So, we're going to sing Happy Birthday. So, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, George, Sin and Joel and Callie. Happy birthday to you.
We're just going to say a quick prayer for these three. Lord, thank you for their birthdays. Thank you that we're able to mark their birthdays here today in your presence, Father. And we just ask for your blessing upon them for the year and the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fantastic. Very, very quickly, a few things. We've got something very exciting going on over here, preparations. And that's going to be the prize giving in a minute and the trip to Campdale Fields, which Joe no doubt will tell you more about. Today is the last classroom ECOS of term. And as usual, we've got a lot of last minute people wanting to come. So it will be great. Sarah, where are you?
Okay, I've been reduced to writing my Bible verse on a piece of kitchen roll. I was glad that David started with the verse about Jesus being light, because this is about light as well. So it's Matthew verse 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. A few years ago, 2012, we had the Olympics, and our dear sister Miriam was in New Zealand and wanted to be back in time for the Olympics. I'm sure some of you will remember. And I actually ended up praying that she'd be back in London for the Olympics. So much did she want to be there. One thing she didn't get to do that she wanted to do was to be an ambassador. You know, the people that welcomed the people from other countries at the Olympics. But we've got an opportunity to be ambassadors for Jesus, to let a little bit of his light shine to people from other countries. So today, as Nick said, is the last ECOS before the summer break. Although, of course, we've got the picnics. People will be invited to the picnics. So if you're available and would like to come, there's lots of people coming today and they need people to speak to. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. So if you can possibly help with ECOS, it would be nice to get about 5 to 1 in the classroom just beyond the toilets, okay? You'll see the signs. Also, we've got, this is the last one we're having in the classrooms, but we've got the big summer Sundays coming up. I always really enjoy August. We have that kind of summery, relaxed feel about Sunday mornings. And we always have a really great time. And lots of people participate. They're all age celebrations, so we don't have the normal kids and teenagers stuff going on. We're all in together. The services are a little bit shorter. And then we all pile out to Hampstead Heath for a picnic. We have the bandstand and we have games. And we invite the ECOS folk to come along, and they really enjoy just mixing with us there. So that's something to look forward to. And that's starting 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th of August. We're going to have those summer Sundays. So over to Joe.
Yes, so this is a special Sunday. Every Sunday is special, obviously. This is a special one because we have got our trip to the fields. So in about 5 minutes, all the children's groups, including Sunbeams, we're going to meet just out over there. And we could do with one or two children's leaders as well. I know there's a few people I've asked. And we're going to walk down to Campdale Fields, which is just down Tufnell Park Road. And then we'll be back by 12:30, okay? And we're just going to do some sports and stuff. Before we do that, We are just going to very quickly do the flame prize giving, which we do each year for attendance, okay? So the little sunbeams, we have got little one or two things for them if a parent wanted to come up. I think there's only Jax and Abby here, but if you wanted to, we've got a balloon and a sweet and an emoji bracelet. We're going to have Dan come up. Dan's going to come up as our notable citizen, person. Possibly... He was announced as the mayor of Camden at Carroty Wood. We weren't sure what the grounds this was based on, but some people did believe that. But he is potential mayor of Camden, so he's come to shake the children's hands and give them their prizes. Maybe we give the sunbeams theirs at the end, maybe, or when we go out. I think it might be a bit much to come up. Or do they want to come up? Jax, do you want to come up quick? Get a little prize? Yeah, he does. Brilliant. Gets one of those and a balloon and a thingy. Low sugar sweets. Okay, low sugar sweet. Oh, brilliant. And a balloon and an emoji. Well, maybe take a couple of the low sugar sweets. They're so low that, you know, really. Brilliant. He's got a handful there. And Abby, oh, and he gets a balloon. Oh, and an emoji. Brilliant. Where's my list? What is going on here? It's a lot of irregularities before we've even started. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Right. We're moving on to flame now, quickly. So these are the runners-up in no particular order. Some of them aren't here, but I'll read out their names. Aria. I don't know if Aria's here. No, but we'll keep her prize. And then Luke Rogers. He's a runner-up here with 23 points. Well done to Luke. And the next runner-up is Abigail with 23 points. Here. They're here, Dan. And then we have Joe Rogers with 22 points. Oh, they're supposed to have their books. Oh, he's not here. Okay, we can take that for him. Then we've got Denzel with 16 points, Denzel. There's his book and there's his bag. Brilliant. And then we have Robin, who's not here, but maybe his mum could come down for him. We have Robin. There's his thing. And that's his special bag. That's his bag. Brilliant. And he got 16 points. And Jiang Mi with 19 points. That's Jiang Mi. Well done. Brilliant, brilliant. And then we've got Lucas with 16 points. And we've got Georgina. Is Georgina here? Brilliant, Georgina. Brilliant. Right. Now it all starts to get very exciting, okay? Because it's very close, this top bit, okay? So, in fifth place, we have Munya. Where's his book? That's come all the way from the back. There's his book. Let's open these. I'm just going to open this up. This is what their books start to look like, you see. They get fuller and fuller of their stickers. Good man. Well done. And then in fourth place, you've got Edward. Is Edward here? No, Edward. Maybe his father would like to come up for him. He's got fourth place. Fourth place for Edward. Then what is happening? And then, very close now, there's only 3 points between the top five. Don't ask me how that works, but it does work. Okay, so we've got in joint third place, we've got with, how many points? With 34 points is Irony and Joseph. Yeah. There's their books. Joseph, I think Iron is not here, but we'll keep his. Brilliant. Right. Now, joint second place with 35 points is Sinan and Mateo. Mateo. And there's Sinan. Whoa. Well, this is a year of girl power. It leaves a girl at the top in top place. There you go, Sinan. What is going on, Dan? You're going to have to practice more for when you really are the mayor. Right, here we go. First place. Oh, we've lost the book. There is Joanna Haruna. That's her book. She's got so much stuff that we couldn't really fit it all in the box. So you need to hold on to it. Tight. Well done. Well done, well done. Brilliant. Well done to all the guys. It's an absolutely amazing privilege to work with Flame week after week. There's loads of other leaders as well who are involved. Or am I going to shake your hand? Oh, I shake the mayor's hand. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Have we done the notices? So what we're going to do now, very calmly and orderly, is the children and teenagers are just going to group together on one of the tables out there in the shade, and then we're going to head for the fields. Is that all right?
Exactly. Bob is going to announce our secret visiting speaker.
Hello, Vicky. Vicky isn't our secret speaker. She suddenly looked very alarmed when I mentioned her name. Like a rabbit caught in the headlights. I should just wait for the hubbub to die down just a little. Hubbub, hubbub.